From legendary locals we all know to people you should get to know. Follow Ipswich Today on your favourite app and never miss an episode. Or go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Coming up, four new councillors on the cards for Ipswich City Council and a new LNP member for Ipswich West. After a big weekend of voting with some long queues, there's going to be a few changes. Walter Williams and Ashley Mack join the show for our regular yarn over the back fence, along with a mystery guest. It's Wednesday, March 20, 2024, and I'm Alan Roebuck. Welcome to Ipswich Today, which acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which it is produced and pays respects to elders past, present, and emerging. This podcast is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. Ashley Mack was born in Ipswich and growing up in Ebervale didn't affect him very much at all. He was the first voice on QFM in 1990, still a media tart, and a small business owner. Welcome, Ash.
I'm actually quite heavy now. I've put on a bit of weight, so you can call me a medium-sized business owner if you wish. Medium,
no problem. Happy to help. Walter Williams has called Ipswich home for far more than 30 years, and you'll know his voice on many TV and radio ads. He was previously heard doing his own show on QFM, 4BH, Star, River, and 4BC. Welcome, Walter.
Thank you, mate, and happy to talk to myself in a small padded room.
As you do every day. Well, I'm just going to take a deep breath. Whew! What an election and what a by-election. Using the current vernacular, we'll unpack it shortly. But first, a special guest on the phone at the invitation of you, Walter. Ken Newman was a candidate for Division 1 in 2020, and he joins Over the Back Fence to share his thoughts about being a candidate and the hurdles to overcome in mounting a campaign. Thank you for joining us, Ken.
Gentlemen, what a pleasure to peek over the fence and see what you're up to.
Oh, yeah. Well, you get an inside look. Ken, in 2020, you achieved just under 11% of the vote in Div 1. Firstly, why did you run?
Look, I had just arrived in Ipswich and I loved my town, my new home. I wanted to get to know it better. And, I sort of had too much time on my hands. And I knew there was an election coming up. I had a look at there'd been a sort of a weird history, that I was learning about the previous council dismissed. And now we were going to put a council back in. And I had a look. And at the time I looked, there were only two registered candidates four in Division 1 for two positions. And I thought, well, that's not right. Someone's got to give them a bit of
You
bit
thought
of
this was going to be easy, didn't you?
Someone's got to make them work for it. I had a look in it, and never having done anything like this before, I had a look at the process. And I thought, well, that's not hard. You basically jump onto the Queensland Electoral Commission website and answer a few questions, fill out a form. I mean, it's a lot easier to navigate than the MyGov site, for goodness sakes. I jumped in and I thought, I had a chat to my wife and she said, why on earth would you want to do that? And I don't know, but let's run it up the flagpole and see what happens.
So you didn't want to have a go this time round?
Look, I made a Facebook page for my election, for my campaign. And it's been dormant for 4 years, and suddenly it got about 250 hits from December through to January. People saying, are you running again? Is there anything I can do to help? And I thought, damn, I wish I knew where all you people were the last time I ran.
Hang on a second. Trust me. If you're running for a thing, you'll put out these notes saying, any volunteers? And you just hear crickets.
Yeah.
Finding people to go hand out how to votes and that sort of stuff is really hard work.
Well, yes.
So handing out how to votes can sometimes be more painful than going to the dentist.
Oh,
look,
it is.
I didn't bother too much with that. I was, myself and three or four friends and my family, my wife and two kids. We went out and we enjoyed wherever we were, and we didn't worry about the 20 other stations. As you say, I I got, from being an unknown person in the town, I managed to get 11%, which is kind of astounding when there were, by the time we actually were running, I think there were 8 candidates for the 2 positions.
That's pretty good out of wide field.
Yes,
that's pretty good.
Out of that field. And I put it down entirely to, I think at the beginning of the campaign, from about December onwards, when once I sort of jumped in and threw my hat in the ring, I don't think anyone was working the Facebook groups and the social media groups as well as I was. That's where people got to know me. And some of it was just whimsical. I was selling my motorbike at the time, so I posted a photograph saying, "Help a candidate buy a motorbike," and announced that as the funding of my election campaign was starting here, and people at the polling booth said, "Oh, you're the motorbike guy."
Ken, as you said before, the easy part is lodging your nomination. Then came the hard work after that date, and obviously before that date. How did you go about planning your campaign?
Well, look, I asked other people what they were doing and wherever possible emulated what other people were doing. But as I said, I think I was ahead of the curve on the social media. I jumped into social media and posed questions, you know, like, you know, what do you guys think about this? And I had some of my own ideas. I've been an academic for 20 years and I've lived in university towns. So I've lived in Portsmouth in the UK, Breda in the Netherlands. And these are towns that were dying until a university was sort of smacked in the middle of the town and the whole thing came alive with three or 4,000 young people and all the stuff. And I said, that's one of the things that could be a long-term goal for Ipswich. And I put out questions like different things. What's an example? I was getting my lawnmower fixed and the motor mower guy said, "Oh, yeah, I've seen you on the posters." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Look, what do you think about gel blasters?" And I had no opinion about gel blasters, but he took me along to this gel blaster thing and introduced me to the head of the Australian Wounded Heroes Association, who was, running this gel blaster thing over in Wacol as part of their. I was like, okay, I would never have gotten introduced to these people and met these people if I hadn't been a candidate. But then on the social media, I put up a sort of a photograph of it and said, what do you all think about gel blasters and should, you know, the proposed restrictions? Now, that's not even council material, but my goodness, I sat back and watched with the popcorn and watched the chat group explode in discussion, as people were saying, you know. So that was one of, I was doing about 3 or 4 discussion topics that were generating hundreds of responses every 3 or 4 times a week, and that's how I got I think something around 2,000 votes out of the 20,000 for Division 1, because people knew me. Having said that, COVID hit, we started to get the COVID restrictions. By the time the election came around, if you remember, we couldn't. We had COVID restrictions on how we would queue up, on how many people could meet together. And suddenly the other candidates were jumping into the, and I could see them, you know, from about mid-January onwards, all the other candidates scrambled into the Facebook meeting groups because they couldn't have, you know, face-to-face meetings as much anymore.
Exactly. Ken, you're an old mate of mine, full disclosure.
We are old mates, Walter.
And I know you're an academic, as you mentioned earlier. So what were you hoping to actually bring to local politics?
Look, I asked myself that question. I thought, I don't have the local knowledge. I think, if I could have brought anything, it would have been a sort of an outsider perspective, maybe a sort of a global perspective, maybe a sort of a big thinking for the long-term future. I think I'm I'm a good organizer. I'm a good project manager, and I've managed, sort of departments with hundreds of people in them in some of these universities I've worked in. So I felt like I had, you know, I wasn't completely without an administrative skill set that I thought I could bring to the job. We had an opportunity to meet the chap who was in the acting role of, and I can't even remember his title, council administrator in...
That's exactly what he was called, the administrator, Greg Chimello.
The administrator general or whoever he was. And I said to him, you know, I've got a couple of questions, you know, like, if you were trying to attract, you know, like a major thing, like a university into the centre of Ipswich.
The good thing is, gentlemen, that we do have University of Southern Queensland.
We do.
Two campuses.
Absolutely. Mm. They're not to be sneezed at. We've got the Springfield campus, which they've put a lot of work into that. And absolutely all credit to the USQ. Having said that, their head campus is not in Ipswich. Their head campus is in Toowoomba, and there's something about this sort of satellite campus. Anyway.
And we're going to have to wrap this up, but before we do, I notice you've mentioned here social media and also your unique point of difference being the motorbike guy. What advice would you give to any future candidates?
Look, I think, what I don't know what my advice, what use would be. I didn't get elected, but... No, I think these days, be media savvy, you know, work those Facebook, you know, I think that Facebook stuff and the community groups are as important as the live community meetings. I think that's where you meet people. I think that's, you know, that's more important than how many billboards you put up on the road.
Ash, have you got anything to add?
It's expensive.
It wasn't for me.
You only got 11%. You didn't win. I'm saying if you want to win, you really need the budget has to be somewhere between 20 and 40,000.
Mm, yeah, right? You're probably right.
To do it. I tend to disagree a bit with the Facebook thing because it becomes an echo chamber. And we had a classic example in this election of someone who basically spent most of their time in an echo chamber and didn't understand what was supposed to be going on. So I think getting out of that echo chamber, actually Reddit was so accurate, it's not funny. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, well, good comment, Ash. Yeah.
Hey, Ken, really appreciate the energy you've brought to Over the Back Fence today. Thank you to Walter for suggesting you as a special guest. So we'll wrap it up there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks again, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Ken, before you go, plug this Saturday night.
Oh, this Saturday night. 188. Can I give a little plug something else that I'm involved with, which is a series of concerts that we're running in Studio 188 in Ipswich. They're called the Musique Concert. They're like a little mini festival. We've got a regional headline act, two local support acts that are Ipswich-based, and we have this amazing thing called a live karaoke band, which is 10 different singers doing 10 songs with a full brass section, a full band, and we put 10 songs together with 10 invited singers every month. And the whole program is just delightful fun. Anyone who's into music should get along to the Musique Concert. There's one this Saturday.
This was on Ashley's wish list, I can tell you.
Hey, so you're a mate of Andy Macon.
I am a mate of Andy. In fact, it's AK Music, and Andy's the A, and I'm the K in AK Music.
Oh my God, your musicians should be ashamed of yourselves. Says the keyboardist, drummer.
Get along on anyone who wants is listening. If you can get along, either if you can't get along this Saturday, get along next month. We've got the swing night. We've got the gangster swing in May, and there's a whole program coming up throughout the year.
That's fantastic, Ken. Thanks for getting that plug in. I nearly forgot, but Walter remembered. Thank goodness.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll leave it there. All the best.
Okay. See you later. Bye.
Thanks, Ken.
Well, Nash, that gets us underway well and truly for this month's Over the Back Fence. It's all about the election. What has been your take on the results? Expected or unexpected?
Expected.
Yeah?
Expected, yeah. Expected. I think the Labor Party shot themselves in the foot with what they did out at Ipswich West. And the Liberal Party had a great, like, I've never seen Darren do anything that he didn't win at, right? He's just come in and done what he's always done really well, and that is win that game. I was at a handing out how to vote cards, and the noise from the Labor Party and the Liberals trying to get a word in edgeways so that you could hand a how to vote card to a voter for the council was almost impossible. Right? Wow. It was just this cacophony of noise. It got to the stage where I was saying, putting my hand up, holding up one of Dave's thing and saying, "Council, over here." Right? And then people were actually snatching it out of my hand because it was a very confused electorate. Going into that thing.
Yeah, that's true. People aren't used to voting in council and state at the same time. But, of course, it does happen with by-elections.
Oh, and I'm very happy that the person I was handing out hand of votes for, it looks as though he's going to get in, Dave Cullen. Well done. Congratulations, Dave.
Oh, good on him.
Yes, he's certainly ahead in the count.
You know, they say that there's no parties in the council, but it's starting to get a bit of a balance going there, isn't it? Mm. You've got Tully and Jim and a few, and Antonelli probably going in there. We'd probably balance up the Labor side, and then you've got the Mayor on the Liberal side because she's a member of the Liberal Party.
Yes, let's come to the divisions individually in a sec, but I just want to go back to Walt. Walt, expected or unexpected?
Fairly predictable, unfortunately. When I say unfortunately, you know, Ipswich has voted and they get the mayor they want. So they've got her. And she's back. So, and I was actually just driving the other day up the main street of town, and there was the mayor herself and her little car with mayor on, written on the side of it.
Yes.
And I thought, there she goes.
Yeah.
But look, I think that the grassroots campaign that David Martin held, I do agree with Ash to a certain degree with the echo chamber thing. And it wasn't as successful as it should have been or could have been. And there's also, I think, a feeling in the electorate where a lot of people are just happy with status quo and don't want to see much progress in this city, and that's what we're going to get.
You make a point with the status quo. Not sure I agree with the not wanting progress, but I think with all the upset from the dismissal of the council to the appointment of an administrator, and it was always going to be, and I think, Ash, you've said this many times, it was always going to be very tough for that first lot of councillors after administration. There'll be that obvious disappointment. For Dave,
that's why I said to Dave Cullen, he wanted to run in the first one after the dismissal. I said, "Don't, mate. You're just going to draw basically a crosshairs on your forehead." I said, let him go through once and then go for it second time, which is he's done. Actually, the problem with Dave Martin, what Dave should have done, Dave was only in for 10 months as a councillor, and he's wasted 8 years. What he should have done was run as a councillor last time. Got some miles under his belt, some credibility.
Which he probably would have got in, no problem.
He probably would have got in, yeah. And then this time, but now he's wasted 8 years and a lot of money, right? Has he got the stamina to have another go at it? Will he have another go at it? How heartbroken is he, you know?
I'm sure he'll be thinking long and hard about it. Let's look at Division 1. Jacob Madsen is safe. And as the count continues, Pi Augustine, who had a go last time, is keeping her lead, I think it's about 400 votes last time I checked, over Simon Ingram. So now that there's more than 50% of the vote counted across all divisions, that trend is likely to continue. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
I've heard that's the go,
Division 2, that was an easy one to pick. Tully and Jonick. Tick, tick. Division 3. This is the most interesting division, I think, where the Greens failed to make the impact. They got a substantial vote, but they failed to make the impact that they predicted, saying a win was achievable. And I think
they had two candidates too.
Yes, to try and get one and two. I think Danielle Mutton told me that she only had to convert 700 votes to get in.
Did she divide and conquer by doing that, by running two candidates? Wouldn't you be smart enough to do
The Greens do probably one? Heard Andrew Fechner more because Andrew would have been obviously getting the younger vote.
And
the word on the street is that the Greens were getting a much younger vote at polling booths. The boomers and older didn't want to know the Greens. So, interesting.
I actually saw Andrew Fechner the other day when the markets were on and Nicholas Street precinct.
Yeah. Now, Andrew Antonelli has increased his slim margin. He's about 500 in front as we record this today. And as I said, that trend looks like continuing, but it's still nail-biting for all candidates. Mm-hmm. Over in Division 4, maybe Russell Milligan's still in shock. He'll be looking for a new job after the Madden and Cullen victory. Well, I we're think, saying a victory, but the votes aren't counted yet, but that's what we're predicting. Certainly Madden's in.
The story is that Russell might have upset a few people in the Carrollia Progress Association at some point, and I think he's been bitten because of that. I think what's happened is they've said, because if you have a look, Dave won that booth out at Carrollia by a long way.
Mm. Not surprising. Yeah. He's a local. Yeah, in that area.
Yeah, he's got the media presence as well.
Well,
with his
that's it.
Weekend breakfast show.
So and, the old radio announcer, yeah.
And it's the name recognition thing again, right?
It works.
I was talking to Cheryl Bromage earlier, and of course, Dave Cullen with his exposure on River and his driving school, obviously. But Jimmy Madden's name has been out there for many years. So people just go with names they know. Who ran the best campaign overall? And thank you, Ash, for the photos of the election signs on Mount Crosby Road. They were used nicely in local Ipswich news. So who ran the best?
It was nice to see the guys from River 949 start sticking their signs up in the middle of all of those. Too. Have you seen Higgsy's sign up there? Good on you, Higgsy. Well done, son. Who did the best campaign? Well, hang on. I won't say whether I like the campaigns or not, but I'd say the Liberals spent the money for the Ipswich West.
On Ipswich West, yep.
Oh, yeah, they threw a whole heap of green folding drinking vouchers. I think Jim did a good job for the council. I think he actually did he didn't upset anybody. No one was saying anything bad about him. Who else? And I don't think, Tully and Jonick had to work too hard, to tell you the truth. I think they had it in the bag from the start.
And they had their consistent branding right across the division. Wherever there was a Tully sign, there was a Jonick sign.
I think the best campaigners were the ones that won.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, thank you, Walter. The Ipswich by-election, we've talked about it a few times, certainly an upset for the Labor Party. A strong campaign from the LNP and, as we've already mentioned, a masterstroke in selecting Darren Zano as their candidate. What do you think it'll mean for the state election in October, Walt?
What will that mean for the state election in October? Well, it's funny. When I did my pre-voting, the one thing they ask you when you're there is, are you in – what division are you in? So first up, I tell them I'm Division 3. And then they say, well, guess what? You won't be needing this pamphlet, Ipswich West.
Yes, you're on the other side of the river.
But I think I'd be very shook up right now if I was in state – Parliament in the Labor Party right now, after what's happened on the weekend here in the switch, there's definitely a swing, a big swing, and what's in normally a very safe seat.
Yes.
This is the thing.
Oh, but that particular one goes backwards and forwards. It has gone backwards and forwards. How many times?
It has, but...
Four times, but I think.
Yeah. Ipswich is well known for being a Labor town, let's face it.
Yeah.
That's true.
The running of the election by ECQ has attracted some criticism, basically the moment the polls closed. What did you find when you went to vote? Was there a shortage of staff, long queues, Ash?
It was so long. I was handing out how to vote at Carrollia, and the queue was so long. When Penny came to pick me up, I was there from 8 on Saturday morning till midday. I said, we're not voting here. We're going over to Tivoli because the line there is shorter. That is how big the line was. It was like, they say it was 100 metres long.
Well, that's the booth that I got word on Saturday night that there was a lineup of people waiting to get in at 6 o'clock. So they let them in, then close it off to the outside world, which is what should happen. And the scrutineers, because of that delay, those people then had to be processed and do their votes. The scrutineers weren't allowed in for about 45 minutes.
Do you know why that happened? Because... so many people came in to vote.
At 2 minutes to six.
Oh, the line's still on. I'm coming back at 10 to six. And they're all saying that. So happened is...
That's probably right.
They've all rolled in at 10 to six.
I just think there was all this complaining after the election about, you know, long queues and blah, blah, blah. It's election day. What do you expect? So use your brain and go early. you can pre-poll. It's been open for weeks.
2 weeks. I mean, 2 weeks of early voting.
It's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. I don't go on the day of the democracy sausage sizzle. I haven't done it for years.
I tried postal voting for the first time this year, and it worked a treat. Registered early on ECQ, and the systems are obviously working well. It arrived in the mail 5 or 6 days later. So I might do the postal next time.
Well, you know what I did on election day? I knew that London Spuds were in town with their food van, so I went and grabbed one of those. I avoided the election boots.
Jenny Craig.
Oh, mate, it's good food. Good food. Very healthy.
Well, gentlemen, that's been an excellent March edition of Over the Back Fence. Thank you again for joining me, and we'll do it again next month.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you, Will. Thank you, Ash.
And that's it for this episode. Don't forget to look for handy links in the show notes. Ipswich Today is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. This podcast is listener supported. Please make a once-only gift or regular donation to help keep it online. Just go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Follow and stream this podcast from your favourite app, including iHeartRadio, or play Ipswich Today on smart speakers. Music is supplied by Purple Planet Music. This is Alan Roebuck. Thank you for listening. Enjoying Ipswich Today? Please share the love on your socials.